And I want to bring this to your enlightenment today, that the spirit of our age is not only a spirit of deception, but it is a spirit of compromise. That we don't really have to preach the true gospel. We can lighten up. We don't have to stay on this straight and narrow path, but we can go and invite everybody just to believe, and they can go on this broad road, and we're somehow just going to all majestically enter into the pearly gates and spend eternity with Christ. That is a lie from the devil. Somebody say another spirit. So if Paul's warning the Galatians of another gospel that has been perverted, could it be that Satan is still using the same tactics that he used, amen, with the Galatians? And through every generation, we think that these are genuine men of God. We think that they're preaching the right gospel. But what can give me discernment to let me know if I'm believing in the real, true, and only gospel of Jesus Christ? What can do that for you? Read with me verse 4 again of 2 Corinthians 11 and 4. For if he that cometh preacheth, so we're dealing with preachers that are preaching another Jesus, and now whom we have not preached to you, or if you receive a, and they have another what? So they don't have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. What spirit do they got? And if they're not preaching Jesus, which there's only one true Jesus, what Jesus are they promoting? What gospel are they promoting? I don't care how big their churches are. It doesn't matter. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, but shall not be able to enter in. Why? We've got to believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There are other Jesuses. There are other spirits that you think are the Holy Spirit. I have prayed in a circle of ministers before from almost 7 to 8 different denominations. And I've heard Catholics. I've heard different types of, and I'm not going to name all of them, but I can tell you this. I have heard others that we definitely don't doctrinally believe the same speaking in tongues. So now we've got a generation of people that think just because they speak in tongues, it's got to be of God. Speaking in tongues is no evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. Now listen to me. Listen to me. It is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. They've got a ghost, but it ain't the Holy Ghost. There are other spirits that are another spirit that will make you speak in tongues. Atheists speak in tongues. People into witchcraft will do chantments and speaking in tongues. And we've got gullible Christians that don't know their doctrine good enough, don't have any discernment, don't have an understanding, and we just want to go ahead and worship with them. My God, I'm not going to worship with them. I'm not going to worship at the foot of Baal. I'm not going to worship a false spirit. It has got to be the true and the genuine. That's all I want. How many want the truth and the true gospel of Jesus Christ? And as a pastor, I've got to warn you, not everybody you see promoting the gospel is of God. Most of them are self-exalted by man. They are put in a position of an apostle, of a pastor, of a preacher, of an evangelist, of a teacher. And can I tell you, a large majority of those that are promoting and preaching and going around this world, many of them are in great doctrinal error, but we've got gullible Christians that will just gulp it up and take it in and say, my God, they speak in tongues. Oh, they mention Jesus. Oh, they mention the cross. It must be the gospel. But what separates the true gospel from all other gospels? The true gospel saves us from our sins. Hallelujah. It doesn't save us in our sins. It saves us out of our sins. It delivers us from evil. It delivers us from the flesh. It delivers us from all that is not of God. Can you say amen? Satan is subtle. Somebody say subtlety. Another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. Quickly turn with me to Matthew 24 so we can wrap this up. Matthew chapter 24. As a shepherd, as a pastor, I'm warning you, church. You better pray for a spirit of discernment. You know where discernment comes from? By the Spirit of truth. Where does the Spirit of truth abide? He abides in the truth. Okay. When he has come, he would lead you. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. We need people that know how to be led by the Spirit of God. Being led by the Spirit of God means that you have to know the Word of God. Is that right? Many people say, oh, I just want to be led by the Spirit, and I don't really need to know doctrine. I don't really need to know the Bible. I don't really need to understand all of those things, and I don't need to do this. Listen, amen, God gets no glory out of our ignorance. I said, God gets no glory out of ignorant Christians. It is your job and your responsibility as a believer to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the words of truth. My God, we've got a generation that says, I want to be led by the Spirit. Amen. But you cannot be led by the Spirit of God without knowing the Word of God, because the Spirit and the Word always will agree. We need agreement. If a spirit is leading you in a direction and you say, oh, it feels right, it feels good, they're speaking in tongues, my God, it looks spiritual, I felt so good, it touched me, it moved me. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the devil is subtle. It's got to agree with the doctrines of the Word of God, or it's not the Holy Ghost. Matthew 24 and 4, quickly. And Jesus answered and said unto them, what? Take heed that what? No man deceive you. If I preach anything other than Jesus Christ and the doctrines of the Bible, brothers and sisters, I stand to need to be corrected. Don't let any man deceive you, me or any other man, any other radio personality, any man that's out there promoting, amen, the gospel and preaching the gospel, amen. You must try every word that he speaks and discern it and judge it according to the Word of God. If it's not in the Bible, then it is not from the Holy Ghost. For many, somebody say many in verse 5. Shall come in my name, Jesus Christ, saying that I am Christ, I represent Christ, I am the one that has come to preach for Christ. But that man that is coming in the name of Jesus shall what? Deceive many. Now, Jesus said many are going to be deceived, brothers and sisters, and that was a time where he was speaking to his disciples, I believe, was it on the Mount Olivet there, was it? I can't remember exactly the setting here. But I do know this, Paul warned of other spirits, deceptive spirits. The disciples knew of this. And this has given us an example that, listen, Satan, the devil, our adversary, the serpent, a serpent is subtle, and through every generation he is slithering through, seeking, looking to deceive, looking to add and to take away. He has power to deceive through spiritual gifts. That's all right. We're going to get the Bible. Revelation 13. Go with me quickly. Because some of you got quiet when I said he has the power to deceive you through spiritual gifts. Revelation 13. You have your Bible open to Revelation 13, amen? Verse 13. And let's read it. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from what? From heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14 of Revelation 13, and deceiveth them that dwell, does what? What does he do to them on the earth? He deceiveth them to dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the womb by a sword and did live. Are you listening? He has power to deceive through lying signs, wonders, and miracles. Now I'm going to say something here, and it's going to rock some of you. But many of the Pentecostal preachers, and I may not mention them because we're on Facebook Live. There are major big evangelists that fill up stadiums and have so-called power to heal. But they're linked up with the Catholics, Sister Veronica. Catholics up on their platforms. Now, I'm not talking about coming together for a city prayer meeting where all different denominations and faith come. I'm talking about supposedly miracles, healings, deliverance, salvation taking place. How can light fellowship with darkness? How can truth fellowship with error? How can bitter and sweet come out of the same fountain? So how can Baal, which the basis of many doctrines of Catholicism is rooted out of Baal worship, how can true believers, men of God, full gospel Pentecostal preachers work hand in hand with the Pope? I believe the Vatican has sent many of these preachers out, and I actually believe that they support them. And they fund their ministries. I don't care if they've got a collar. I know that not every man that wears a collar is a Catholic. But I'll tell you this, we need to have a spirit of discernment to be able to try the Spirit by the Spirit. And the only way you can discern that which is of God is you've got to be full of the Spirit of truth. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's another Spirit in the land. There's another Jesus in the land. There's another gospel in the land. And I'm telling you, I want to make it to the real kingdom of heaven. I don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and hear him say, I never knew you. We've got to know him in the reality of knowing him as Lord, Savior, and he's my master. Can you say amen? The devil has power through signs and wonders. Satan cannot cast out Satan, but he can put on a good show. Are you listening? Most of these preachers are showmen. They want to make a spectacle. And they want to make sure that they're seen of men. Our generation is moved by miracles. Oh, if there's a miracle, it must be of God. Can I tell you, not every miracle is of God? We've met Africans in the jungles I've talked to those that are in Santeria worship, which is demonic Catholicism in Mexico. I've talked to some of them. I've talked to some of the witch doctors in Africa. I've talked to some of the witches in Santeria in Mexico. And they say, we have the power to perform curses and blessings in their warped mentality, in their perverted view of what their blessing is. They have supposedly the enchantments and the prayers and the incense. And I remember one night in Mexico, I came to preach the gospel at Pastor Salgado's church. It was an outdoor service. We came up onto the property and got up on that platform to preach, and it was so thick in the atmosphere. I couldn't figure out what it was. I just knew there was a heaviness. There was a hindering spirit. There was something that was oppressing the atmosphere. And I began to think of what the Word of God says, that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and spiritual wickedness and rulers of this dark world. It is spiritual wickedness in high places that is the real adversity. We can't see all together all the time that which we are fighting. Oh, the devil doesn't come to you with a smile saying, I'm the devil. No, but he'll get behind the pulpit and he'll proclaim a gospel that all is not the true gospel. He'll preach another Jesus. He'll preach with another spirit, and he'll preach, brothers and sisters, things that go contrary to the true doctrines of the Word of God. I got through preaching that message that night, and by the grace of God, 14 people got saved. But oh, I felt hardly no liberty. Oh, I had prayed, I had fasted, I waited on God, I had a word from God. And then Pastor Salgado noticed up underneath the platform, there was a little teeny, some type of enchantment witch thing with incense, and there was a dead carcass there or something that they had sacrificed right underneath the pulpit in which I was preaching. And I realize now, I understand why the atmosphere was so heavy. There was spiritual wickedness. We went home that night and we began to drive back the spirits of witchcraft. We began to pray. We began to seek the face of God. Brother Rick stayed up all night praying with me. We were getting up early in the morning believing God. That night we went and preached the gospel on that same platform, and we preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We seen mighty move of deliverance. We seen the captives set free. We seen sick bodies healed. Why? Because there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the real gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to drive back the false, drive back the powers of the devil. And that's what we need today. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for every man and woman that will believe and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe it, lift your hands and say amen. We are in a spiritual battle. I'm not here to tear down other ministries. I'm not here to tear down other men. You think you got it all right, Pastor Davis? No, I don't. I don't claim to have it all right. But I can tell you this. I do have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, and the Holy Ghost. I know the doctrines of the Bible, and that and lies where my discernment comes from. Jesus taught to his disciples about deception in Matthew 24. He said, take heed that no man deceive you by any means. Here's what we always have preached. Just because you've never heard it, don't disregard it. Listen, but try the Spirit. Try the Word by the Word. Can you say amen? Be like the Nicolaitans. Is that right? They would hear a man preach. They would hear a Bible study. They would hear the Word of God come forth. And they would go home and search the Scriptures to see if that man was preaching the true, amen, message of the Bible. And that is our responsibility, that we are to study. We are to preach. We cannot go by miracles. We cannot go by the way we feel. Are you listening to me? Me and you can be deceived through the subtlety of the devil, through the cunning craftiness, through all of the deceptive means. And listen to me as I close. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I will close. I want to be right. How many want to be right? And I know, brothers and sisters, that this type of straightforward teaching, it will make the devil mad. There was once a time when I was a lot younger Christian, I used to follow a few ministries that I thought were of God, Brother Martin. And Brother George, I could have swore by some of the miracles that were taking place that they had to have been of God. But then I got older and I started to study this Bible. And I started to really understand the doctrines of Jesus Christ. The doctrines of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of truth. And then I began to have my eyes enlightened through the knowledge of truth, that which was false. Now Jesus said, many shall come in my name and deceive many. What is many? Many? I want to be abiding in the truth. I want to be on the Lord's side. Not him on my side. I want to be on the Lord's side. Was it Abraham Lincoln that made that statement? It doesn't matter. If God necessarily is with us, we better be with God. You've heard that statement, God's with us, God's with us. And that's, I understand the statement, but we better be with God. We better make sure we're on the Lord's side. Because there is a spirit that is being promoted today that looks Christian, looks Pentecostal, looks like it's of the Holy Ghost, but it's at the root of it, if you do your research, that's one thing I do. I'll go to websites and I'll do my research on their doctrine. But many shallow Christians that don't have really a true in-depth life to study, they'll go by their billboards. And just because he looks like a preacher, and they'll go by their advertising and the size of their church and the size of their crowd. And, oh, he's doing great signs, wonders, and miracles. And, man, it must be of God. They even mention Jesus in their sermons. They even mention the Holy Spirit in their messages. And, man, the music just ushers me into a euphoria of just, I feel so good. But what is the foundational truth of the gospel? That God came down on this earth in the form of a man, the man Christ Jesus, to save humanity from their sin. That must be at the core of every ministry, is we must see sinners being saved by the grace of God and the mercies of God. If you believe it, say amen. Now, I want to encourage you. You need, when I was a lot younger Christian, I would rely upon the teachings of other men to teach me. Are you listening? That's where I fell into error. Brother Martin, it's good to listen to preachers. It's good. Amen. You've done it. I've done it. We're blessed by it. But to really get a strong doctrinal foundation in your life, you need to study the Word of God for yourself. One of the greatest foundational lessons in our Bible studies, and maybe we can begin to do it, is knowing how to study the Bible. Line upon line, precept upon precept. There's hidden There's hidden a weave through this Bible where Scripture will line up with Scripture, truth upon truth, and things will just come together, and it's all in agreement. How many of us know it's in agreement? It's in unity. Many say there's contradictions. There's not contradiction in the Word of God. The contradiction is with man's interpretation of the Word of God. But the Bible is not of any in private interpretation. Can you say amen? What I think doesn't matter. How I interpret it doesn't matter. If there's not other scriptures to back up what I say, we can find a scripture to back up almost anything. Rick always used to give the example. Judas went out and hanged himself. Go do likewise. I mean, you can put scriptures together to make it say anything you want. And that's why we've got a generation that is perverting the gospel and the Word of God. They're resting, the Bible says, they're resting the scriptures to their own destruction. What is that saying? That word rest has the idea of twisting the Word of God and the original meaning of what God is trying to teach us. And when you twist and change and add and take away, you take from the Bible and you only bring a curse upon your life. We'll close with 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to read it with me. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, urgently, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They're in the faith. They're in the faith. They're in the real. They're in the genuine. But somehow they've given heed through a seducing what?
Stop right there and look up for a moment.
This is another spirit. Another Jesus, another spirit. Somebody say another. We better get some discernment. What is of God and what is not of God. And what does the Spirit do? Causes them to get away from the original doctrine. It does what? It seduces. I don't have time to preach this the way that I want to. It gets a hold of their flesh and allures them through flesh. Seduction is something the enemy does that your flesh likes. Can I tell you the wealth and health gospel of our day? The preachers that promote nothing but give, and you're going to get back 100-fold. And you've heard them on the televisions, and they give scriptures of Psalm whatever, 59 this, and send in a $59 check. And listen, there's some truth to that. Not altogether the psalm and the number. But listen, when God lays on your heart to give, and it's a genuine, true ministry, you give. And you know that they're really, truly preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But a lot of these people are in it for the money. A lot of these people are in it for the popularity. A lot of these people are getting great gain and buying $1 million homes, and they've got airports on in their backyard. Their backyard's about 150 acres, so I guess they can put an airport back there. There's one preacher in Texas that has a home that's worth almost $14 million, and he's got 2 runways in his backyard so he can fly all over the world and preach the gospel. He's almost worth $1 billion. Now, where and why does a preacher of the gospel need 2 runways in his backyard, a 13-14 bedroom house? I mean, and be worth almost $1 billion. Don't you think that's a little excessive? I mean, come on, people. And boy, we'll send our checks into him. People will see him on the TBN and they'll sit there and, oh, he must be a man of God. Look at his wealth. But what about his doctrine? What about his preaching? What about the spirit that he's preaching behind that pulpit? Is anybody in his ministry being set free from sin? Is anybody being baptized in the Holy Ghost? Is anybody getting demons cast out of him? I want to see the reality of the true power of God, not some seducing spirit that makes it look like it's real and, oh, it looks good. But let me tell you, everything that looks good is not good for you spiritually. Can you say amen? I'm not saying we're all right and they're all wrong. No, God's got a lot of people in this nation and around the world that are right. And they may not be perfect on every little thing in the Bible, and let me tell you something, but doctrinally they're sound. We are going to see things a little different every now and then, but I'm here to tell you there is a lot more false gospels, false preachers, and false spirits out there than there is, amen, those that are abiding in the truth. Listen to me. Seducing spirits have one goal. And that is to allure you through the lust of your flesh. I mean, who of us here don't want to be rich? Or at least be well off? And if a preacher's telling you, you just give $1,000 or $500 offering and it's going to come back 100-fold, man, I'd love that. But it doesn't work that way. Come on, somebody. You know, you've heard them. And I know some of you have heard this before, but I must warn you, we've got to have some discernment. There is another gospel being preached on the airways, on the radios, and being preached by the millions out there are just lapping it up and being subtly, just like the serpent, subtly allured Eve from the Word of God. What did God say? Don't eat. Adam, you and your wife, don't eat of that tree. Isn't that what he said, God? But then Satan immediately came along through his subtlety. And he seduced her through her appetite of her flesh. Her flesh wanted to taste that fruit. Then he put into question what God said to her. She had it right. She was obeying. She was, listen, I know it's Adam's fault and he didn't keep it, but amen. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, he appeals to the lust of your flesh. Amen. He will allure you to a soft gospel. He'll allure you to a preacher that doesn't preach as hard as Pastor Davis. He's not as strict as Pastor Davis. He lets me all, oh, you don't have to do all that. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to come out from among them. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, amen. I'd like to believe and I'd like to know that I truly believe we preach the true, genuine doctrines of the Bible, and we are abiding in the truth of God's word here. I'm not saying we've got everything, amen, everything perfect, but we are striving to do all we can, amen, to preach the full counsel of God's word and abide in the light of the truth. Can you say amen? But I must warn you, as a shepherd that overlooks a flock, take heed, my brothers and sisters, lest any man, any ministry, deceive you by any means. For many, Christ said to his disciples, shall come. They are going to come in my name, and they shall deceive many. Through seduction, spiritual seduction. There's so much to preach right there, I don't have time to preach it. And doctrines of devils. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, which is the times that we are living, some shall depart from the faith. They were in it, but now they've been allured out of it. Take heed. And they give heed to these seducing spirits and doctrine. Somebody say doctrine. Doctrine is truth in the Word of God. We need to study. How many have been studying their Bibles? Amen. Now, it's not enough to know the word. You've got to have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. Now, many of you have been praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And listen, even ones that are filled, Brother Martin, and I would agree, there is more than just one filling. Amen? We've got to stay filled. I can run on empty. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Amen. I will be affected if I do not stay full of the Holy Ghost. Those of you that are seeking the Holy Ghost, keep seeking. Keep believing. Amen. Sister Patricia, keep believing. Amen. Sister Sukyong, keep believing. Brother George, keep believing. Brother Romans, keep believing. He will fill us with His Spirit. It will come. And once you've got the Word of God and the Spirit of truth inside of you, you've got some power. I said, you've got power to discern that which is good, that which is false, that which is of God, that which is not of God. And God will give you an eye to see things that you have not ever been able to see into the realm of the Spirit. Spiritual things cannot be taught by man altogether. They can give you an understanding of the things of the Spirit, but the things of the Spirit must be taught by the Spirit. Are you listening? So as we close, I want you to understand, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, and they come and preach, and they got another spirit, or another gospel, it is dangerous. Paul talked about you might as well bear with them, and there's a lot to be said about that, but I'm telling you, there is another spirit in the land. And as a pastor, I have oversight of you spiritually. If I've said anything that's offended you, come and talk to me. If I've said anything you don't understand, come and talk to me. There was once a time where I thought certain men were definitely men of God, but as I studied their doctrine and went to their websites, as I began to read the Word of God, I realized this ministry are in great error. And as I began to have my eyes open to deeper truths, doctrine is important. You can't just push doctrine aside and make it to heaven. Some folks think we can just believe and just go to heaven. You got to have your doctrine right. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I'm not saying we've got it all. I don't believe that. I believe that we have enough truth here. Because there's, how many of us know there's so many deep things in this book? This is a living word. And as you change in your level of maturity, of understanding, and you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of truth, this book, what you read last year, you'll go back and read it over, and it's going to speak to you totally different. But I'm going to tell you what's going to help us. We need the Spirit of truth to lead us and guide us into all truth. Can you say amen? Church, I love you. And as a shepherd, it's my responsibility to warn you that when the wolf is coming, when the enemy is coming, Pastor Rick always used to teach us, Brother George, one of the hardest things to do is unteach. Brother Martin, unteach people that have been taught wrong. I was taught wrong in some areas. I had a lot of charismatic preachers that I used to listen to. Very talented. Very good men, sincere men, but they were doctrinally in error. And as I grew in my life of study and prayer and grew in the grace and knowledge of the truth and began to sit under men of God, my eyes were open to see, man, I was in error. I was headed down the wrong path, putting my faith in a man's ministry rather than looking at his doctrine. Don't be moved by the miracle. 5 of you could come up here this morning with physical things that you need to be healed. And if I lay hands on you and every one of you get healed, wonderful, glory be to God. But what if my doctrine is in error? What does that tell you? It's a different spirit. The Holy Ghost will only abide in the truth. He will only anoint the truth. He will only lead and guide into truth. It is us, when we are allured through the lust of our flesh, and the enemy uses the seducing spirits, just like he beguiled Eve and said, don't worry about what God said. You shall not die. You can eat of that tree. You don't have to live holiness. You don't have to live separated. You don't have to live on this straight and narrow path. No, you can just get a little bit from all these other preachers. And that is where the confusion comes in. I've realized there's nothing wrong with listening to other preachers, but too many voices brings and breeds confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. I love listening to Brother David Wilkerson. Oh, hallelujah. Huh, Brother George? Huh, Sister Veronica? If you're going to listen to a man of God, you can. Pastor Davis tells you, I would encourage you, a man like David Wilkerson, a man like B.H. Clendenin, men that when they preach, they didn't play games. They preached to you the raw truth of God's Word. When I met Brother George the first time and he started coming around, he says, one of my favorite preachers is David Wilkerson. I says, I'm going to love this brother. Hallelujah. That's the spirit I love. If you can listen to Brother Wilkerson or brothers like Brother B.H. Clendenin, and there's many, many others that are great, solid, doctrinal men of God. You might not like their style. You might not like their personality. Brother B.H. Clendenin was a Marine. He came out of the military. So when he preaches to you, you're getting a Marine's foundation. I mean, he's militant in some of his ways, but I'll tell you this. Oh, these were great men of God that were used all over the world, and they preached the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ, and their works are even continuing today on an international level because they were true, genuine men of God. Amen. So I'm not saying they're all false, but there is a lot of false. And here's what you need to do. You need to dig into their doctrine. So if you've got anybody in question, go to their website, if they've got one, and look. Statements of faith. You know what I've noticed, Brother Martin? They won't even put their statements of faith up anymore. Now, why can't you put your statements of faith up on your website? That simply means you're telling people what you believe. Now, I'm done preaching. I'm trying to just, amen, I've got going a little while. I'm just trying to put the brakes on easy and slow down. I'm going to let you get out of here. But how many believe this is important? That we got our doctrine right. How we believe and view God. And our ignorance is not going to get us a pass when we stand at the judgment. I didn't know. He says, I gave you my word. There's 66 books there. There's great information that's out there, and that wherein lies the problem. Most of us don't know how to really study the Word. So we begin to rely upon another man. Certain men are good teachers, and I would say yes, but there's a lot of them that I started listening to as a younger Christian, Brother Martin, and I began to realize as I got older, he ain't preaching sound doctrine. How many of us know sound doctrine is right doctrine? It abides in the Word. I want to encourage you, let's study our Bible. Let's study our Word. Try to make it into the Sunday schools the best you can. Some of you don't even have to worry about. You're here. Faithfulness. And God's going to honor those of you that have been faithful. God's going to bless you when revival comes. Those that have been faithful, I believe God's going to pour into them first. Hallelujah. How many love the Word? How many love the Word? Amen. In the next couple months, if the Lord's willing, I'm going to be inviting either, Lord willing, Pastor Ochoa or Brother Woods to come up and deal with some of these subjects. These are well-qualified teachers. And I'm going to have them touch on some of these subjects for us about studying the Word of God. And I'm hoping to do like a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll get you some dates soon. It will probably be more towards the fall season, Lord willing. And we'll try to get you those dates so that everybody can have plenty of time to make plans. But the most important thing is we've got to be established in the doctrines of the Word of God. Amen? That's where your discernment will come from. We're living in the last days. How many believe it? There's a lot of deception, and you need to know what is of God and what is not of God. For not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but it's they that do the will of God. Amen? Amen. Let us stand this afternoon.